A landmark decision against the ANZ Bank for charging excessive late payment fees on credit cards could force all the major banks to hand back millions of dollars to their customers. The class action on behalf of 38,000 ANZ customers contested a range of bank fees, but only the late payment fee was deemed illegal by the federal court. Michael Peters, an expert in banking law at the University of New South Wales, believes this decision alone, though, will have major ramifications, and not just for the banking industry, but for other industries which charge late payment fees, like telcos and gas companies. Michael Peters is speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
It's a very well-established law that you can't charge penalties simply to force people to comply with contractual obligations. And if you do so, they've got to be linked to the cost of collecting. And in this case, they were well beyond the cost of collecting outstanding balances. So the banks were in fact making a profit, and one could then argue that it was in the bank's interest for people to pay late because they're in fact ahead of the game.
But these late payment fees have been around, what, nearly as long as the banking industry. Why has it taken so long for an action to be brought against them in the courts?
Well, it's quite an interesting case study here because historically the Reserve Bank, which regulated the industry back in 56 and to recent times, allowed this because it was very labour intensive in getting people to pay on time. So the banks were given leeway to collect. Unfortunately, what's happened is technology means that things are done well online and they're automated, but instead of reducing and passing on the reduction of cost of recouping these outstanding balances, the banks, in fact, have increased the fees.
So is that the main reason why the court has ruled against at least the late payment fees on credit cards, not against the fee itself, but because they've become excessively high?
That's right. It would appear, and no reflection on the banks, that their fees that they were charging were in fact a money-making exercise rather than an exercise in recouping the cost of collecting. Now, it may very well be that it is costing that amount of money, but they weren't able to prove it to the court. And I think that the judge made a comment that it was like 7,000% higher than the actual cost. And I think 50 cents was the amount that they sort of concluded it cost the bank to collect. And they were charging, in some cases, $25 for a 50-cent fee. So it was very hard for the banks to show that they were not making a profit. And there's a logic behind this law. It's been around for almost three centuries or so. And that is, if we allowed people to charge penalties, then some people out there may actually engineer contracts to be breached or not comply to their letter. So it'd be profitable to then collect on the breached contract.
And it seems that these fees also hit some groups more than others. Late payment fees on credit cards have been described as a kind of tax on the poor. Would you agree with that?
That's right. The surveys continually show that there is a segment of society which, for whatever reason, they find it very difficult to pay on time. And whether it be credit cards or those nothing-to-pay-for-three-year type of financial deals, it's often that they will be a day or even a week late, and they're the ones who are penalised. Whereas the larger customers, because the banks obviously want to keep their patronage, often don't pay anywhere near what the ordinary customer pays.
Now, this federal court decision opens the way for ANZ and other banks which levy these particular fees. They may be forced to pay back millions of dollars, I guess, to their customers. Just how much money do the banks rake in from this particular fee? I mean, how much could this ruling cost them?
Well, their annual returns bury these fees, but one can reverse engineer to show that they are very profitable. And the judge has said that there's no statute of limitations on how far you can go back. So technically, this could run into hundreds of millions, not just for the banks, but for other utility credit providers, whether it's the power companies or gas companies or mobile phone companies, who have embedded such terms in their contracts.
So this is a landmark decision then. I mean, it has huge implications, not just for the banking industry, as you say, but for other industries like telcos and utilities, which charge late payment fees.
That's right. All credit providers are now put on notice that the very well-established common law principle will be enforced to the letter of the law. So all those offers where you don't pay for 2 years interest-free, etc., but there's also embedded often terms that if you're a day late on your interest-free period, then there's penalties that accrue. And also, of course, mobile phones and gas bills and the larger non-banking financial institutions like the commercial financial lenders who have a lot of credit cards, they will be put on notice to have a look at those terms very, very carefully. And I would suspect that even though they may be re-engineering those terms as we speak, what they've done in the past, they will have to account for today.
But the banks, or at least ANZ in the first case, can take some comfort from the fact that the court didn't rule against four other fees that the class action was contesting. They were deemed by the court to be legitimate fees for service, like those like the honour and dishonour fees, as you said, on cheque payments. Was that a correct decision in your view?
That may have been a correct decision. It's hard to determine how much it costs to actually chase dishonoured fees because it's still labour intensive. People are aware that cheques take days to clear, not hours. It does require someone to actually authorise the payments in many cases. It's a great relief to the bank that they're allowed to recoup that. But I think in the future, the banks will have to explain to the public the process they use to process cheques and why they haven't automated it. And we're not talking about large sums of money. So if there's millions of dollars involved in clearing a cheque, then perhaps a $25 dishonour fee is not unreasonable. But if it's a cheque of $50 and you're charging a $25 dishonour fee, well, that could be questionable because that could be automated.
The banks in recent years have been trying to buff up their reputation. A lot of the banks have been moving to, and ANZ pointed this out, to abolish or even reduce at least some of these fees. This court ruling is a setback, not just financially, but for their reputation too, would you say?
That's right. They need to be more transparent. They haven't been transparent because traditionally the Reserve Bank and in recent times APRA has more or less allowed them to recoup these fees, never explaining why they're actually charging these fees. And it's a bit like going into a restaurant. You do ask what's in the meal, but in the case of banking, we don't actually ask what exactly are you providing for that $5 a month fee or $25 transaction fee. What exactly do you mean by transaction? We don't ask these questions because we just don't, and they take advantage of that. Now, this landmark decision means that if they want to do this again, they will have to provide a reason for it. If they don't, and it looks like a penalty, and they're not recouping what it's costing them to collect, then it could be up for damages.
That's Michael Peters, a lecturer in business law at the University of New South Wales, speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. And this case is not over yet. ANZ has not ruled out an appeal, and nor has the firm funding the class action suit, Bentham INF.